Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's Master of Liberal Studies.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. How will our newly elected leaders change Texas and the United States? And what do you hope they will do before they ask for your vote again? We're doing a special Open Lines show today on Think. That means you are the guest. We're asking you to share your perspective on what the results of yesterday's election mean to you as a Texan, as a U.S. citizen, and as a citizen of the world. You can call right now to join us with your comments. The number is 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org. Senator Barack Obama yesterday won the presidency by the largest electoral majority for a Democrat since LBJ, redrawing the country's red state, blue state map and becoming the first African-American in history to win the nation's highest office. Veteran Republican Senator John McCain conceded the race to Mr. Obama last night from his home state of Arizona.
My friends, we have come to the end of a long journey. The American people have spoken, and they have spoken clearly. A little while ago, I had the honor of calling Senator Barack Obama to congratulate him. Please. To congratulate him on being elected the next president of the country that we both love. In a contest as long and difficult as this campaign has been, his success alone commands my respect for his ability and perseverance. But that he managed to do so by inspiring the hopes of so many millions of Americans who had once wrongly believed that they had little at stake or little influence in the election of an American president is something I deeply admire and commend him for achieving. This is an historic election, and I recognize the special significance it has for African Americans and for the special pride that must be theirs tonight. I've always believed that America offers opportunities to all who have the industry and will to seize it. Senator Obama believes that too. But we both recognize that though we have come a long way from the old injustices that once stained our nation's reputation and denied some Americans the full blessings of American citizenship, the memory of them still had the power to wound. A century ago, President Theodore Roosevelt's invitation of Booker T. Washington to dine at the White House was taken as an outrage in many quarters. America today is a world away from the cruel and prideful bigotry of that time. There is no better evidence of this than the election of an African American to the presidency of the United States. Let there be no reason now. Let there be no reason now for any American to fail to cherish their citizenship in this, the greatest nation on earth. Senator Obama and I have had and argued our differences, and he has prevailed. No doubt many of those differences remain. These are difficult times for our country. And I pledge to him tonight to do all in my power to help him lead us through the many challenges we face. I urge all Americans who supported me to join me in not just congratulating him, but offering our next president our goodwill and earnest effort to find ways to come together, to find the necessary compromises to bridge our differences and help restore our prosperity, defend our security in a dangerous world, and leave our children and grandchildren a stronger, better country than we inherited. Whatever our differences, we are fellow Americans, and please believe me when I say, no association has ever meant more to me than that.
Thank you. That was Arizona Senator John McCain conceding the presidency last night to Senator Barack Obama of Illinois, who in turn praised Senator McCain during his own remarks about an hour later. Obama also spoke about the exceptional challenges that he knows he will face as president.
There will be setbacks and false starts. There are many who won't agree with every decision or policy I make as president. And we know the government can't solve every problem. But I will always be honest with you about the challenges we face. I will listen to you, especially when we disagree. And above all, I will ask you to join in the work of remaking this nation the only way it's been done in America for 221 years, block by block, brick by brick, calloused hand by calloused hand. What began 21 months ago in the depths of winter cannot end on this autumn night. This victory alone is not the change we seek. It is only the chance for us to make that change. And that cannot happen if we go back to the way things were. It can't happen without you, without a new spirit of service, a new spirit of sacrifice. So let us summon a new spirit of patriotism, of responsibility, where each of us resolves to pitch in and work harder and look after not only ourselves, but each other. Let us remember that if this financial crisis taught us anything, it's that we cannot have a thriving Wall Street while Main Street suffers. In this country, we rise or fall as one nation, as one people. Let's resist the temptation to fall back on the same partisanship and pettiness and immaturity that has poisoned our politics for so long. Let's remember that it was a man from this state who first carried the banner of the Republican Party to the White House, a party founded on the values of self-reliance and individual liberty and national unity. Those are values that we all share. And while the Democratic Party has won a great victory tonight, we do so with a measure of humility and determination to heal the divides that have held back our progress. As Lincoln said to a nation far more divided than ours, we are not enemies, but friends. Though passion may have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection. And to those Americans whose support I have yet to earn, I may not have won your vote tonight, but I hear your voices. I need your help, and I will be your president too. And all those watching tonight from beyond our shores, from parliaments and palaces, to those who are huddled around radios in the forgotten corners of the world, our stories are singular, but our destiny is shared. And a new dawn of American leadership is at hand. To those who would tear the world down, we will defeat you. To those who seek peace and security, we support you. And to all those who have wondered if America's beacon still burns as bright, tonight we proved once more that the true strength of our nation comes not from the might of our arms or the scale of our wealth, but from the enduring power of our ideals, democracy, liberty, opportunity, and unyielding hope.
President-elect Barack Obama speaking last night from Chicago. That was his victory speech. We are talking today about how the elections will change things, and we would love to hear your perspective. If the phone lines are full, you can always send email to think@kera.org. That's where we hear from Nicole, who says, as a Catholic who voted for Obama under threat by my bishop that my soul would be imperiled by that morally impermissible vote, it is deeply meaningful to me to have elected a president, who actually cares about the common good. Now to the phones at 1-800-933-5372. Let's speak to Deborah in Fort Worth. Hello, Deborah.
Hi, yes. I'm calling today because I want to say I voted for Barack Obama because he is a true leader in the sense of he is inclusionary, he has humility, and he is principled across all religions. I think that's really important to say. And I want to say that as a college instructor in Fort Worth at a predominantly African-American school, most people don't hear about the career colleges because that's where the lower strata end up going to school. What I want to say is that Barack Obama, by virtue of being elected and even thinking to run, has started a whole course of a reclamation of an electoral participatory process that people have been apathetic and have not felt like they have a voice in or a part in. And I think that when I've heard friends in discussions last night say they're now feeling prouder to be an American, I think that says a lot.
Well, great points, Deborah, and one also made by Senator McCain last night in his concession speech. I really appreciate you giving us a call. Thank you. 1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's move next to Jim in Dallas. Hey, Jim.
Hi. Chris, thank you very much. The point I'd like to make, I also voted for Obama. I feel very proud as an American today, and I think we all can cherish and relish the tremendous historic moment of an African-American being elected. But I think we shouldn't ever stop there. There's a risk that by doing so, we limit the significance of Obama's victory. What I'm proud of is also that he won by running a civil, intelligent, thoughtful campaign, by talking honestly to the American people about sacrifice, unity, by not playing culture wars or other things that he could have done. And I really, really hope as a country, we can unite and move forward in that spirit. And really dig ourselves out of this hole. You know, I felt a despair for my country over the past 8 years, and I feel a lot of hope now that from this low point we can really move forward. So thank you very much.
Jim, thanks for calling. Let me ask you quickly, do you feel like you are in a better position now to sort of reach across to friends and colleagues of yours who might not share your views than you were before?
I do. You know, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, but especially living in Texas, I've come to appreciate and respect many, many good people whose ideas might be different than mine and their perspectives on why they feel that way. And I think one great thing about Obama is he's not as much of a knee-jerk leftist as he's been perhaps portrayed by necessity during the campaign. And I'm hoping he is centrist and sensible and sober and thoughtful. And that's what we need to really move forward.
Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. We're doing an open lines show today to hear from you about what this election means to you in your life. Let's speak next with Sheila in Southlake. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. I believe that the selection of Americans of Barack Obama as our president-elect means global cultural education. I think that the entire nation has spoken, and as Senator, President-elect Barack Obama said, that from sea to shining sea, across the shores, people were listening and thinking. And before they made their choice, in the face of a lot of evilness, if you will, for lack of a better term, just misconstruing of who he is and what he stood for, people took the time to read and to understand history and to understand their future. And from young to old, we really had to make some intelligent decisions. Like the gentleman before me said, not shoot from the hip based on your race, your religion, your background, but to really do our homework. So I believe that it was a global cultural education.
Sheila, thank you so much for your call. We are doing an open line show today on KERA. You can join us on the phone at 1-800-933-5372. If you're finding those lines all busy, you can send us email. That goes to think@kera.org. That's where we hear this afternoon from Crystal in Oak Cliff, who says, not since 9/11 have so many people around the world shed tears for America at one time, but this time they are tears for joy. Tears have no color, no gender, no age, no religion, no boundaries, and their taste is the first that all humans ever everywhere share. Back in just a minute.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's Master of Liberal Studies program, offering flexible part-time graduate study. You can follow your passion at SMU, and you can learn more at smu.edu/MLS.
This election had many firsts and many stories that will be told for generations, but one that's on my mind tonight is about a woman who cast her ballot in Atlanta. She is a lot like the millions of others who stood in line to make their voice heard in this election, except for one thing. Ann Nixon Cooper is 106 years old. She was born just a generation past slavery, a time when there were no cars on the road or planes in the sky, when someone like her couldn't vote for two reasons, because she was a woman and because of the color of her skin. And tonight, I think about all that she's seen throughout her century in America, the heartache and the hope, the struggle and the progress, the times we were told that we can't, and the people who pressed on with that American creed, yes, we can. At a time when women's voices were silenced and their hopes dismissed, she lived to see them stand up and speak out and reach for the ballot. Yes, we can. When there was despair in the Dust Bowl and depression across the land, she saw a nation conquer fear itself with a new deal, new jobs, a new sense of common purpose. Yes, we can. When the bombs fell on our harbor and tyranny threatened the world, she was there to witness a generation rise to greatness and a democracy was saved. Yes, we can. She was there for the buses in Montgomery, the hoses in Birmingham, a bridge in Selma, and a preacher from Atlanta who told the people that we shall overcome. Yes, we can. A man touched down on the moon. A wall came down in Berlin. A world was connected by our own science and imagination. And this year, in this election, she touched her finger to a screen and cast her vote. Because after 106 years in America, through the best of times and the darkest of hours, she knows how America can change. Yes, we can. America, we have come so far. We have seen so much. But there's so much more to do. So tonight, let us ask ourselves, if our children should live to see the next century, if my daughters should be so lucky to live as long as Ann Nixon Cooper, what change will they see? What progress will we have made? This is our chance to answer that call. This is our moment. This is our time to put our people back to work and open doors of opportunity for our kids, to restore prosperity and promote the cause of peace, to reclaim the American dream and reaffirm that fundamental truth that out of many we are one, that while we breathe, we hope, and where we are met with cynicism and doubt and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can. Thank you. God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.
Closing moments there of the victory speech given last night by Senator Barack Obama in his home state of Illinois. We are talking today about the impact of the election on your life, on Texas, on the rest of the world. And of course, it bears stating outright that you are welcome to join the conversation, even if you did not vote for Senator Obama. Everybody is welcome in this conversation. Our number is 1-800-933-5372, or you can send email to think@kera.org. Let's go now to Roger in Dallas. Hey, Roger.
I'm as thrilled as your previous guest that Barack Obama is the president-elect, and I hope that he brings the change he promises. I'm concerned that the Dallas-Fort Worth region is going to have some great difficulty if President Obama ends the war in Iraq and cuts our military aggressiveness around the world. We have Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and Bell Helicopter. Our local economy depends upon defense spending. And without planning to convert it to to non-military, non-lethal production, we're going to be in serious trouble in north central Texas.
Really interesting point. Thank you so much for your call, Roger.
Sure.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's move next to Carrollton and speak to Marcus. Hi, Marcus.
Hi, Chris. You know, one thing I hope that people who choose to run for office will learn from this is how important it is to be genuine and really, you know, be who you are and run on that. And I think back to 2000 when Al Gore ran. And I remember through the debates, he seemed to keep redefining himself. And we were never really sure who he was. And then after the election, you know, he turned into this guy that everybody really liked. And everybody said, well, why weren't you that way when you ran? And I look at this election, and I see John McCain kind of the same way. It just seems like he looked at what he thought it would take to be elected and became something that he just didn't seem to fit him that well, and now that it's over, people aren't even really asking what is he going to do. They're asking, you know, who is John McCain? And so, you know, I just that's just something that's just been kind of bothering me really through this whole election.
Yeah, I think you have a point. I mean, politics today is so exceptionally professional to the extent that it is handled by marketers and teams of people who study exactly what language is supposed to work. It seems like it would be challenging for any candidate to remain entirely genuine in the face of many people who are saying you have to be this way if you want to appeal to the American people.
Right. And I think that this election is a great contrast because it seems like that's what Barack Obama did. He seemed to have said from the very beginning, this is how I'm going to run my campaign, these are my themes, and then he stuck with it all the way through, you know, even when he wasn't necessarily ahead, and he came out on top, and whereas John McCain seemed to sort of change, you know, through the time, and so, you know, I think there's a good message there.
Thank you so much for your call. Yeah. 1-800-933-5372 is our number. Our email address is think@kera.org. We hear right now from Bill in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Bill says, one of your callers expressed my own feelings while our president-elect was giving his victory speech. I was not really an Obama supporter until then, but for the first time in 8 years, I feel like an American. I have a president who told me that even if I don't agree with him, I am not the enemy. I am not unpatriotic, nor am I aiding and abetting the enemies of democracy. My president told me that we can disagree, and he still acknowledges my love for my country and accepts me and even needs my help. I cried from relief, happiness, and pride in my country. Back to the phones now, and we will hear from R. Jeremy in Fort Worth. Hi, R. Jeremy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, thank you.
I just quickly wanted to share something that happened this morning, which was, it just amazed me. You know, one of the things Obama talked about in his Democratic National Convention speech was, he said, we lost a fundamental moral that we are our brother's keeper. And I really liked that he said that. Well, this morning, I drive a delivery truck. I was at a gas station, walked in, and there was a black lady in front of me and a black lady behind me. Well, then when she got done paying, they both saw each other and hugged, and it seemed as if they didn't know each other. And then when I got up to pay, this lady behind me put her hand on my back, and she said, isn't it a great day today? And I said, ma'am, it really is. And, you know, she didn't know me, didn't know my politics. I'm a young white male. She was an older black woman. But she might not have done that yesterday or a year ago. But today, yeah, I see a renewed sense of brotherhood in people. And that's what I think our country really needs right now. And I just wanted to share that story because I just thought it was very neat.
I really appreciate you taking the time to do it. You take care.
You too.
We have an email now from Al who says, I am not affiliated with any party. I voted for Senator McCain. I have to comment that this is the first election where I felt torn in making a decision. I could tell that I had a hard time deciding my vote between Senators McCain, Clinton, and President-elect Obama. I sat outside my polling place for 10 minutes thinking through that decision. Then it occurred to me that there is quite a contrast between this election and the election of 2004. In 2004, I had a hard time deciding because I didn't feel any passion for either candidate. Yesterday, I was torn deciding between two men that I felt were outstanding. It's nice to have a difficult decision that I had yesterday. 800-933-5372 is our number. The lines may be full, so you're welcome to join us online at kera.org. The email goes to think@kera.org. Let's move on and speak to Josh in McKinney. Hello, Josh.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First, I want to say that that email from Natatoches was right on the money, and that was a wonderful email. Secondly, I think that the biggest problem that I think most Americans felt was we're just disgusted with the polarization that is just plagued politics for I don't know how long. I mean, I'm only 30, but it seems like my whole life it's been that way. And I think that the victory yesterday was for not for Democrats, but for the center. Because I truly believe that that's where most Americans lie.
In the center,
I don't think that the far-left liberals, who even as a Democrat scare me, and the far-right conservatives, I don't think they lost, per se. I think that the center won. I think that's great for this country.
Thanks so much for your call.
You got it.
We have an email along those lines from Betsy, who writes, many pundits tried to make race an issue when no one else was talking about it. However, I believe the anger rose not so much as black against white, but Republican against Democrat, and that can be just as poisonous. Back to the phones now at 800-933-5372, and we speak to Espinola in Arlington. Hi, Espinola.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
62, African-American, former Marine. I've been involved with this campaign a long time, but I'm going to be concise and brief. I think the Republican needs to really, the party needs to look at itself. We are a multicultural society, and for someone that's a political junkie, they didn't get it. I started out voting Dennis Kucinich and then John Edwards. I got involved with this campaign 18 months ago and started traveling with it, even as my age. But it was about, to me, the Constitution. It was about federal judges and Supreme Court judges.
So for you, it's more than just electing a president. It's the people that the president will put in place.
Am I not proud that I have that? You know, I'm going to go to the graveyard and tell my grandmother to get up. But I started out, I am truly a progressive, but I understood and I looked at voting records. But I also listened to Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage, and I started collecting and downloading on the internet because I'm work out of my home, all the literature that was, you know, racist literature that the Republican Party was putting out against Obama. But they never understood there were people like me, my mother, my eight sisters, and we gave money. You know, I did my homework. I looked at voting records, and I got it, and I understood it. But it still came back down to the Constitution, and this nation needed to heal.
Well, I really appreciate your call, Espinola. You have a great afternoon. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
800-933-5372. That opens up a line, and we will move on now to speak to T in Fort Worth. Hi, T.
Hi. I just wanted to say that the election results last night gave me a renewed hope for our country and future of my children. I think it's important that we finally elected somebody who cares not about his party or his future as a politician, but about the future of all people in this nation and the world.
What tells you that Obama is different from the others that you had to choose from?
Just the way that he has approached everything from a very diverse background that he is. I think he's going to make a lot of changes for the people. He stands, everything that he said has rung true as far as the way he cares about the people themselves, not the party. He's reached across party lines, you know, so many times in the past. I think it's going to be a wonderful thing. And like the caller said, when he was paying for his gas this morning. That's the exact same thing that happened in our office this morning. People, even the ones who didn't vote for him after seeing his speech last night, were talking about how wonderful it was.
Well, thanks so much for your call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can also send email to think@kera.org. We have an email from Steve who writes, as regards race, I think the win is far more important than the fact that a black or African-American was elected. Obama is no more black than McCain is white. Those words both in quotes. Few people saw a black guy standing up there. They saw a guy whose policies they either agreed with or disagreed with. Most didn't see Palin as a woman, simply as another Republican. Outside of a core of minority, a core minority of dyed-in-the-wool bigots, are we finally becoming color and gender blind? Interesting question raised there by Steve. You can send email to think@kera.org. Let's go next to Pete in Dallas. Hello, Pete.
Hello, how you doing?
Great, thank you.
This is first-time caller, and thank you for taking my call.
Well, welcome to the show.
I was a little concerned. I just have a comment. I was a little concerned on one of the callers that called in and said that that this area, the Fort Worth, Dallas area, with all the military people that build the airplanes, Lockheed Martin, Bell Helicopter, and all that, would be in sad shape if we got out of Iraq and Afghanistan. And I'm a Vietnam veteran. And, you know, when we were over there, it was a war that we couldn't win. And to this one here, it seems like a war that we can't win, because we're not fighting a conventional war. We're not fighting uniforms. We're fighting women with bombs, kids with bombs. And it's a totally different situation. But if we have to depend on this area for wars, for people that have jobs, to me, I think it's a sad way to be.
Thank you so much for calling with that, Pete. I really appreciate it. 800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go next to Jonathan in Dallas. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Good. I was a McCain voter. Voted for John McCain. But watched Barack Obama last night take that stage and strike the moment right on the head. I don't think he could have done a better job. I was touched down to my core, and while I don't agree with him on many of his policies, I was amazed at his poise and the way that him and his family appeared on that stage. So as a precursor, I was very impressed by what I saw last night. However, I woke up this morning and I read on the news that most likely he was going to extend his chief of staff position to, I believe he's a Democratic House member from Illinois named Rahm Emanuel, who has a history of being very divisive in his politics. And I was just wondering, my question really is, what does that truly say about how President-elect Obama is going to approach things? Is he truly going to have a conciliatory message, or is it going to be more of the same, just packaged a little bit prettier?
Well, I'm sure we'll get some responses to that from other callers. Thanks so much, Jonathan. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You can join us in just a moment by calling 1-800-933-5372 or email think@kera.org.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's Master of Liberal Studies program, offering flexible part-time graduate study. You can follow your passion at SMU, and you can learn more at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We're talking to you this hour about what yesterday's elections mean to you as a North Texan and as an American. You can join us by sending email to think@kera.org. Let's go next to Edward in Dallas. Hi, Edward.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Fine, thanks.
I want to start off by saying that I myself is a Gulf War vet from the first Gulf War. And I actually, I'm going to go back a little bit.
Do me a big favor and just as briefly as you can summarize. Thanks.
Okay. Michelle Obama said she was proud to be an American for the first time. As an African American, I understood what she said or why she was saying that. She was basically saying that finally have people seeing each other for people and not of color. And last night when we got the results that Pennsylvania had actually fallen into Barack Obama's fate, it actually made me feel really good, because I was really leery that people would not see him as a man instead of just a black candidate. And I just want to say that I am proud. I am truly proud today that Americans have done something that I never thought we would ever do.
Does this change the way, Edward, you think that sort of the majority of Americans think about you as a person? Are you're a black man?
Well, I've always thought that Americans see us to some degree for who we are. I don't think that we're being judged just because of our skin color. But what I do think is that we all tend to fall into little categories and judge people on stereotypical beliefs. And, you know, I'm just glad that that wasn't the case last night. And Mr. Obama could not have done it with all the 95% black vote he had. He needed the rest of us. He needed Caucasians. He needed Asians, Hispanics, Arabs, Muslims. They all voted for him. And that was an acknowledgement. And I really appreciated that last night.
Yeah, Edward, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
We have an email next from Tom who says, I wonder about the callers who are so enthusiastic about Obama's win. Of particular concern to me is the acceptance of the sacrifice that we as Americans will need to endure. I feel I have sacrificed enough in my 49 years. My wife and I both work and earn very good money. We pay an ungodly amount of property taxes and more than enough federal taxes. Our only financial obligation is a home mortgage. We pay cash for our cars. Our son goes to Texas A&M, and we pay full fare as our family demonstrates no financial need. We do the right thing, and now we will be asked to do more for who and why. That email comes from Tom. You can email us. That goes to think@kera.org. We will head back to the phones now and speak to Jennifer in Dallas. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I'm calling because I have a different take. I am an African-American or black. And I'm actually devastated by what happened yesterday. I'm happy that McCain lost and Obama won for the history, but I couldn't enjoy it because the first half black president to be president, the same people that voted for him in this historic civil rights result are the same ones that took the rights away from gay and lesbians in two states that voted for Obama, and I'm devastated by it. I don't even know how to feel.
You're talking about the right to marriage.
The right to marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, without the black vote in California, it wouldn't have passed. And I'm because I am a lesbian, I don't even know how to feel about this. I'm so thrilled that we proved that we can break that color barrier, but in the same swipe, the same people that wanted to break the color barrier struck down a whole group of people.
Do you think it's possible, Jennifer, that can change within the party, or do you think that this is now an administration that really won't be able to be influenced at all?
I believe that Obama, you know, one of the reasons I was leery about him, I was a Hillary supporter, but I was leery about him because I didn't know what kind of leader he was. And now we see that he'll be a leader, so I'm hoping that he will bring the African-American community along with the way he truly feels, because the homophobia in the African-American community is so huge. And so I'm hoping he will lead us into the right, you know, into the right era. But I'm just devastated by it. I'm devastated by how a group of people that were so persecuted in this country could persecute another group. And it's devastating as a black woman.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so torn, and I couldn't even enjoy. I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional. I couldn't even enjoy it as much as I should have for my child.
I completely can empathize with how you feel, and I really appreciate your call. Thank you.
Thank you.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next to Jay in Clearview. Hi, Jay.
Jerry?
Hi, Jay. Is that you? Oh, Jerry?
Jerry? Yeah.
Okay, Jerry, go ahead. Sorry.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment. I'm a middle-aged white guy with a lot of middle-aged redneck friends. And I began to notice that, you know, as time went by, a lot of guys kind of like me weren't going around and talking about it. But once you got to chit-chatting enough, you realize that, you know, there was people ready for a change. I'm a registered Republican, and myself and a lot of my friends voted for Obama. And it was really exciting last night to watch him.
Mm-hmm.
And I even talked to a lot of my friends that didn't vote for Obama today, and even they were inspired. I mean, this is an exciting time. I'm sorry that the last caller feels so concerned, but, you know, if she remembers, he did speak about that as well. And the same walls that have been being knocked down And we're getting past the hatred. We're getting past the racism. This is just an exciting day to be an American. I'm very inspired. I'm very excited about the possibilities.
Yeah,
that's all I had to say.
Thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
800-933-5372 is our number. That does open up a line. And now we will speak to Kathleen in Carrollton. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. I just wanted to make the comment that I am very, very ready for a lot of the negative dialogue concerning Bush and this administration to just go away, because I think, and this may be an odd point to make, that had his administration not been so perceived to be such a failure, Obama would not have springboarded with quite the momentum that he has. And I think that, Bush, as our president, has been disrespected in ways that have always made me uncomfortable. And it's such a habit to bash the Republicans or to bash one another because we are so eager to make our own points that I think we have sort of lost respect for one another. And I really hope that as we enjoy this moment, if you will, we can restore the respect for one another's opinions and really encourage an atmosphere of dialogue and sort of just cease and desist with bashing and blaming.
It would be a great thing, I think.
Yeah, I'm real tired of it. Yeah.
Well, Kathleen, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
We have a couple of emails here expressing similar sentiments. Janet in Fort Worth says, I'm glad the next president will be a Democrat, and I'm glad that the racial barrier has been broken, but I can't help feeling that women have been told to sit down, shut up, and wait again, probably for another generation or two. I'm 54 years old, and I fear I will not live to see a woman president. Carrie in Richardson says, I, like so many others, teared up listening to Obama's speech. However, we still haven't elected a female president, and the sexism was rampant in this election. In addition, California took away the rights of lesbians and gays to marry. It's wonderful that this country is moving forward, but it should move forward for all of us. Heading to the phones once again, we have Marshall on the line in Arlington. Hey, Marshall.
Hi there. First off, I'd like to say I love your show.
Thank you.
And also, I would like to say that I identify with Jennifer, the previous caller, and I share her disapproval and being upset. However, I wanted to say that earlier this morning on the radio, on KRA, I heard a woman respond to last night's election with the sentiment that she was afraid, that she felt that, you know, because of Obama's election, we're all going to be godless socialists now. And I was just shocked almost that she felt that the election of this individual would affect her in such an individual way. And I really think that we have such a long way to go. As far as we've come, we have such a long way to go to change the idea, the mindset of the people who really only look at things for, you know, what the smear campaigns and the scare tactics of the other side have put forward. And I wanted to comment on that.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. And I do think that it doesn't necessarily represent the feelings of all people who didn't want Obama to be president. Not everyone who voted against him believes that he's a socialist or a terrorist or the horrible things that were said. And I would assume that not everyone who voted for Obama thinks horrible things about John McCain.
Of course. I voted for Obama, and I personally think that John McCain is a good man. I mean, Lord knows he was, you know, military, which I find very commendable. But at the same time, I suppose here in Texas especially, I just noticed that a lot of people were really affected by the words of the other side that weren't necessarily as veritable or true as they should be.
Yeah, I think your point's well taken. Thanks so much for your call.
Oh, thank you.
Our email address, if you can't find an open phone line, is think@kera.org. We have an email from Stephen in Bedford who says, I am proud to be an American, but I've not always been proud of America. Often I have thought we could do better. Now I can honestly say, without a pause to reflect, that this is the proudest I have ever been of America and to be an American. Let's go next to Jackie in Ellis County. Hello, Jackie.
Hi. I woke up today feeling so good about living in America. So much better than the last two elections. I felt it said something really fabulous about America and about Americans that many people would vote for Obama. And it just really made my year.
Well, I'm glad you're having a good day. Thanks for your call. Our number, 1-800-933-5372. We will speak next to Amparo in Irving. Hi, Amparo.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
I just want to comment, first of all, I am citizen, American citizen by you know, choice, mm-hmm. because I didn't born in this country, but I'm a physician. And under Obama, I have to pay more taxes than under McCain. But I vote for Obama because I believe that he is the mind of change that he can bring to this country. What this country needs right now, that is the help of middle class and the help for the people who really need it. And the ones that we have to pay more taxes should not be aggravated by that, because we need to think of our children and our grandchildren and the wonderful things that this country will bring to us. And I also a little concerned that people will not be patient with Obama, because it's going to take him a while to make these changes and to recover this country from the devastation that we are in right now. And that's my comment.
Thank you so much, Amparo. And let me ask you this. How long do you think it would take to really sort of revamp the healthcare system to the extent that, that President-elect Obama has said he wants to do?
Well, realistically, I think in that 2 to 4 years, for the change to, you know, to make a real impact in the middle class, because I have a lot of patients that they come to our clinics and they cannot afford to pay the price of the medications, and they have to choose in between food or medications for the medical care. And I think this is horrible, and this is affecting the people who work all their lives in this country, but they when they retire or they get very sick, they cannot afford to pay an insurance. They don't have the age to get Medicare.
Right.
But so, they are not also poor to get the help of places like federal government or so.
Right. Well, we'll hope that they can get care soon. Thank you so much for your call, Amparo. And we have time for one more, and we will speak to Roy in Fort Worth. Hello, Roy.
Hey, how are you? This is Roy.
Great.
I'm doing fine. I just wanted to say, you know, I have some coworkers who are African American. They're feeling like, you know, wow, this is really something great for us. And one of them kind of walked up to me and said that. And, you know, I had two of my white friends who were kind of with me, and, you know, they voted for Barack Obama too. And I just think folks need to understand, you know, Barack said, you know, this is a first for a lot of people, and that it's a first for them too. And, you know, we shouldn't leave them out.
Yeah, do you think your friends sort of understood that point when you made it?
Well, you know, this was a much older lady. You know, I'm very respectful, you know, to older people, and I'll probably talk to her a little bit later, but I didn't want to put her on the spot right then and there.
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, a lot of people have to really rethink a lot of assumptions they had made about mm-hmm. the kind of country this is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your call, Roy.
Hey, thank you, too.
Thanks to all of you who have called today for our Open Lines show. We are sorry that we couldn't speak to all of you, but it's been a pleasure. Those of you who were able to get through and those of you who sent emails, we really appreciate them. Remember that you can always find more political coverage provided by KERA's award-winning news team on the Voters Voice page of KERA.org. My name is Chris Boyd. Thank you for listening and have a great day.
Think is produced by Jeff Whittington and engineered by Jeannie Mascoro. Learn about upcoming programs, subscribe to our free daily podcast, and order CD copies of your favorite Think shows on the radio page of KERA.org. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@KERA.org.